The day I was born, I was not expected to survive. There had been a breakdown between my mother's placenta and me. I weighed in at 2 pounds, 15 ounces. And from what I was told, I was put in an incubator for over a week. But I survived. There were many strikes against me as a newborn. Within 2 months, I had a massive ear infection. I lost much of the upper range of my hearing. So I learned to read lips at a very early age. I also took extensive speech therapy from grade school through junior high. I spent many hours sounding out words over and over again. And despite that, my parents never treated me like a victim. They were old school. They told me to do my best. And they reminded me and kept reminding me that I was a survivor. That the Lord let me live for a reason. And I was pretty good at making friends. And through all of this, I believed that I was a basically good person, raised by church-going parents, even though I detested going to church. I was in the eighth grade when my Uncle Charlie died. How I loved my Uncle Charlie. My Uncle Charlie had been prescribed the wrong medication. He had a dreadful reaction to it. Spent month after month in agony. And he died a miserable death. Sometime after that, my aunt sued the doctor for malpractice. But a slick lawyer got the doctor off on technicality, so my aunt got nothing. I became embittered against God and gradually became something of an agnostic, doubting the existence of God. And deep down, I probably retained some belief in a higher power, but I did not like God at all. And yet, I kept thinking of myself as a good person. And at least I was a better person than Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson. In 1977 and most of 1978, I immersed myself in a very self-indulgent, self-destructive lifestyle. I killed off a lot of brain cells and acquired many bad memories. In the fall of 1978, three Christians witnessed to me about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God's sacrifice for sinners. And I don't exactly remember the references. Looking back, it possibly involved Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Perhaps it involved a portion of 1 Peter chapter 3, the start of verse 18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But whatever the references were, initially I was polite to the Christians witnessing to me. But I just didn't buy into that. And at that juncture in my life, I thought of the Bible stories being on the same level as Greek mythology or Aesop's fables. And I recoiled. I bristled at the thought that I was a sinner. But late in 1978, I thought more about it. What if this is true? To a large degree, my agnosticism left me feeling empty, one-dimensional at best. I had let go of the drug experimentation by the end of that summer, but still was at least, at the very least, a borderline alcoholic. I had a difficult time stepping away from that. So my agnosticism and my excessive drinking troubled me more and more. I became increasingly discontent with who I was. But most of all, far away most of all, I recalled the situation when I was in the fifth or sixth grade, an incident which I had buried deep within me. And the incident occurred during a school lunch period. Tables, lunch tables were in rows. And my friends and I sat at a table behind a group of girls. A girl named Sharon and her friends. Sharon's back was to me. And something within me billowed to the surface and erupted out of me. And I heard myself shouting, "Sharon, you are ugly." I repeated that. And I noticed that her shoulders were trembling. And one of my peers said to me, "You know, Gary, I think you made her cry." And I felt awful. But I couldn't let on that I felt awful because I was with my friends. And I wanted to be tough. So I kept on with the insults. And I ended up saying, "Sharon, if I had a face like yours, I'd cry too." And her head drooped. And the Lord kept hammering away at me with the memory of all that. And I realized for the first time that I was much less than a good person. I was a punk. And I kept remembering Sharon's trembling shoulders and the sagging of her head as she cried hard because of the ugliness within me that prompted me to insult her for no reason at all. I remembered her anguish. And I kept remembering the fact that Sharon and her family moved away a few years after that. And I never told her I was sorry. Additionally, I realized, and I honestly realized, although I was pretty good at making friends, I myself was not that good of a friend much of the time. I was, in point of fact, a sinner who needed a savior. And I came to appreciate the gospel that a sinless savior died because of the horrible ugliness inside of me, so that I would be forgiven by a holy God. Christ was truly that victim who never did anything wrong in the sight of God. And that sinless victim was sacrificed so I could be saved. I could turn my worst in for Christ's best. I didn't have to be haunted by this guilt anymore. I wanted to repent. And finally, I trusted the words found in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In April of 1979, I believed. I embraced Christ. I was forgiven. And we need to be absolutely clear on this point. I am not a sinless being today. I am a sinner who's been given a Savior. For almost a year after my conversion, I still struggled with a lot of drinking, but I was in time empowered to gain the victory over that. I wanted to be better, and I wanted to be better for the sake, for the honor of the Messiah who saved me. My life was no longer empty. I was divinely forgiven and comprehensively loved by God, who would never need me for anything, but he loved me anyway. And he still loves me, and he loves me by way of Jesus Christ, his Son. 1982, I married Jean, one of the Christians who had witnessed to me. And come July 2024, I will have been a pastor for 31 years. Not because I'm good enough, but because the good God wants me to be a pastor. And God and the Son are more than worthy of my life and my lifelong obedience. Bottom line is this: God is real. God is gracious. And Jesus is Savior. Jesus is sufficient despite my weakness, flaws, despite my mistakes, despite my remaining sin. Jesus is sufficient, and he always will be. Wilbur Chapman expressed it well in his song, "Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul." And in that selection, at one point, Chapman wrote this: "Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end." Amen.